Well, good evening, everyone, this evening. A warm word of welcome to our testimony evening. And it's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. And we do earnestly pray that the Lord will be with us and the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this evening. Those that are visiting, let me extend to you a warm word of welcome. And to those as well that are online, wherever you are this evening, may the Lord bless you and even speak to your heart as our brother will come to minister in song and testify in but a little while. Let me go through the announcements, and we do firstly remind you of our children's meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. here in the church. And as always, we do certainly commend it to your prayers that the Lord will continue to bless this work amongst the children week by week. We're coming near the end of the term for the children, and even in these last couple of weeks that are left, may the Lord be pleased to bless us and even speak to the children. Wednesday evening will be our prayer meeting and Bible study here in the church. And we do invite young and old alike to be coming to the house of God even on that Wednesday evening and to be studying God's word with us and coming around the throne of grace in prayer. This Friday night will be our final youth meeting of the year here in the church at 8 p.m. And young people, we look forward to seeing each one of you gathered with us at 8 on Friday evening. And in the services next Sunday, beginning with the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and in the service is 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both of those meetings. And we're looking forward, as the young people will be taking part in various ways, both in the morning and the evening times. And I'll be here in the will of the Lord to minister in God's word. We mentioned this morning that next Sunday night, we're bringing the last of the topics for the young people that we've been studying with them over the last number of years. And we're coming to look at talent and how the Lord has blessed each one of us and gifted each one of us in different ways, and how we can be using that for the Lord, even in the days in which we live. But we're looking to you to be here as well. We invite and encourage each one to make that effort to come along, and even to encourage our young people as they come to take part next Sunday. And there's also the retiring offering for the building fund, being the second Sunday of the month, and we leave that before you as well for the Lord's Day next week. We're going to commence our meeting now with the hymn 212, the hymn 212, and the page is 261. There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he hath gathered us all. 212, and we're thankful to your effort, or for your efforts this morning in singing, and we've rallied a few more. There's more here tonight than there was this morning. And may the Lord even bless us as we seek to worship him singing together. So the hymn 212, will stand together now as we sing, please.
There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul, Jesus, please.
Jesus.
going to unite our hearts together in prayer at this stage. And we're looking to the Lord even for his blessing to be upon us this evening. And each one that is saved, may we be praying to that end, that the Lord will bless. And the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before thee in and through that precious and that wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And O God in heaven, we thank thee and praise thee this night for the love of God. We do rejoice that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We do rejoice, O God, that he has commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank and praise thee this night that each and every one that is saved, that there is nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's no principalities, there's no powers, there's no rulers of darkness or anything anywhere in this world that can separate us from the love of God. We thank and praise thee for this. We thank and praise thee, O God, this night, that when we are saved, that we are kept forevermore. We rejoice in that grace, that matchless grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we're saved by grace. We thank thee, O God, that we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And O Father, our hearts are thrilled already whenever we simply consider what God has done for us. We can say with the hymn writer, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. And Lord, we come to thee this night, even at the outset of this meeting. We pray for thy blessing to be upon us, even in this house tonight. We thank thee, O God, that our brother is in our midst tonight. We thank thee that he has a testimony to proclaim, that Christ Jesus has saved him, that he's been bought with that precious blood of Christ. We thank and praise thee, O God, for what thou hast saved him from. We thank and praise thee, O God, for what thou hast saved him to. Lord, we do rejoice this night that what thou hast done in his life, that thou can do for others. Amen. O Father, we pray for each one that is before us. We pray, O God, for each one that is listening as well online, or maybe we'll listen at a later time. Lord, we do ask thee that thou wilt minister to their hearts, that even now in these moments, O God, that thou wilt prepare our hearts, that thou wilt settle our minds, that thou wilt, O God, settle us in thy presence. And Father, we pray for ears to be unlocked and hearts to be unlocked. We pray, O God, that minds will be receptive and hearts will be receptive to thy word. Lord, even this night we pray for salvation. We pray, O God, that thou wilt save a soul. Lord, that thou wilt unite a family in Christ. That thou wilt do a great and a wonderful work. O Father, we pray that whilst another's hour art passing, that thou wilt not simply pass 6 mile cross by, but rather, O God, that salvation will come to this house. That salvation will come to this area. That there will be that sound of abundance of rain. That there will be, O God, the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We're mindful as well of our sister congregations. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless in these days the going forth of thy word. We think of this time of year. We think of the special services that take place in our churches, whether it be testimonies, whether it be young people or children taking part. Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt bless. That thou wilt bless, O God, the going forth of thy word. That thou wilt bless, O God, every effort in the gospel. That thou wilt be pleased to use. That thou wilt be pleased to save, that thou wilt be pleased, O God, even to further thy kingdom here in Northern Ireland. Build up thy church. Lord, build it even in our midst, brick by brick, soul by soul. Lord, may we simply be the spectators, looking on at the work of God in our midst. Father, come, we pray thee, and glorify thy Son this night. Glorify his name and his person in this house. Thou hast promised, Christ has promised, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Lord, we simply bring thy promise to thee afresh. Simply do, O God, as thou hast said. Hear and answer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are delighted to have our brother Geordie Walker with us this evening. We're thankful that the Lord has brought him here in safety, and we're looking forward as he'll be coming to take part. We're going to ask him, first of all, just to sing a piece to us at this stage, and we are welcoming him in the Saviour's name. And brother, we pray that the Lord will bless you as you minister to us. Thank you.
This is a night of testimony. I can't tell you how nervous I am. To tell you the truth, I'm very, very nervous. I can sing a little bit, so I can, but a testimony is a thing I'm always very, very fearful of doing and giving, because we don't want to give any glory to the devil whatsoever, but I can show you the power and the strength of a holy and a mighty God, of what he can do in your life. Maybe you think you're gripped. Well, the grip of the Lord's better. You see, the grip of the devil, it can be loosened, it can be smashed to pieces. So all of my pieces, sung and God willing, spoke will be to the glory of God. The first piece, I was here many, many moons ago. I don't know if you can remember. Maybe the life still scared out of you the last time I did sing here. But whenever I give my testimony, it's a hymn that I love so, so dearly. And it speaks to me because there's three questions comes back. When I survey the wondrous cross, my friend, are you a sinner? Have you surveyed the cross? Backslider, it's a long time since you surveyed the cross. And the people who are born again of the Spirit of God, how often do you survey the cross? That's a fearful question. How often do we survey the wondrous love of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us? And what are you doing? We'll come to that hopefully, and God willing, in the testimony of the Lord gives me strength. Now, my voice is not the way it used to be. COVID hit me hard. My breathing, my singing, and you'll say you were rough before. What are you going to sound like now? But to the glory of God, you know, the Lord can take the weak things to confound the mighty. Isn't that right? Sometimes we forget about that. So we'll go forward in the power. Maybe the Red Sea's in front of us. Maybe the Jordan's in flood in front of us. Go forward. The Lord will give you help. God will. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and poor content on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All living things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
I want to thank our brother for bringing that first piece to us. Let me just remind you once again of the welcome to each and every one, and perhaps you've only joined in online in the last number of minutes. We want to thank you indeed for coming and being with us this evening. We're looking forward as our brother Geordie in just a moment will come again and sing, and then as he will bring that word of testimony to our hearts. We're going to sing just one more hymn together as a congregation, and then we're handing the meeting over to your brother, the hymn 203. The hymn 203. Certainly tonight the theme in my mind as we were preparing and looking at these hymns, it's all about the love of God. And the love that drew salvation's plan. And even our brother's already been singing of the cross. And we think of what Christ did for us. What he accomplished there upon the cross. And we can only be saved by Christ. And may that be ringing in our ears tonight. That it's salvation. Even as it says there at the end of verse 1. Christ, my Savior, lifted me. We can never lift ourselves. And we could never lift each other. But it's Christ that lifts us out of the mire of sin. We'll stand together as we sing 203. May the Lord help us once again tonight. Let's stand, please.
I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. In the master of the sea, heard my despair.
He saved again.
Amen. As I said, we are delighted to have our brother Jordy with us. Speaking to him just before the start of the prayer time, and mentioned to him how that we'd heard his testimony. It came up on Facebook one day and I listened into it. He's no idea where he was testifying at, and I've no idea either. It just simply came up. Someone had shared it, and whenever I seen his name, I thought I must listen into that. The first time I met our brother Jordy was when I was a student, and the students went along to Lurgan. And the first time I ever heard him, he was praying. And certainly even those who were in the prayer time as well, it's always a blessing to hear a brother pray. It's been a blessing already to hear him sing. And now we trust as he comes to sing once again and then give a testimony, we trust that the blessing of the Lord will be upon him. And even tonight that he will be a blessing to each one of us. So Jordy, we're handing it over to you at this stage, and may the Lord be with you once again.
I wasn't nervous before, I'm absolutely shaking now. I don't know if you know me, I'm not a person that's normally nervous or shook by anything, but to give a testimony to the Lord's saving grace is a very, very nerve-wracking thing, for I don't want to do anything unfaithful for the Lord. I'm fearful about these things. It's on Facebook or whatever. I still have not a clue. You do this liking thing now and again, but with the young ones, they're that uptight sometimes. You've got to like everything. Unfortunately, I'm not that person. If I like it, I like it. And if I don't, I call a spade a spade. So it is. We'll have to look this up on this Facebook or whatever way you look it up. But that's a fearful thing that I'm about the internet. But the next little hymn that I have is, "Was it for me alone?" I don't know if there's any of you saved here tonight. I don't know really who you are. But remember that night when the gospel spoke to you. You thought there was absolutely nobody else. That man is speaking to me. That woman is speaking to me. That hymn is just for me. Well, we want one of them nights here. But this is how my life was reached. How my life was struck. When I wanted to do everything I wanted, well, the Lord had a different plan. Was it for me alone? The Saviour left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendours of the sky. For what? Maybe you don't like to be called it, you sinful wretch. That's what I was. I had to admit it. Didn't know I was one. But that's what you have to know what you are before a holy God. First of all, you might think that. People come with these big highfalutin and think, yes, I know the 5 points of Calvinist, and believe you me, I am. But there's some of these things that people come far, far too high up. I like things that take the head off people. Do you know something? You have to know that you're a sinner. Something as easy as that. Know a sinner before a holy God. That you'll know that it was for me alone. Was it for me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky? Was it for me he came to die? It was for me, yes, all for me, all love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, how shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord and King. Was it for me, sweet angel strains came floating o'er Judea's plains? That starlit night so long ago, was it for me God planned it so? It was for me, yes, all for me, all love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, how shout and sing, He died for me, my Lord and King. Was it for me the Savior said, pillow thy weary aching head, trustingly on thy Savior's breast. Was it for me, can I thus rest? It was for me, yes, all for me, all love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, how short and sing, He died for me, my Lord and King. Was it for me, He wept and prayed, my load of sin before Him laid. That night within Gethsemane, was it for me that agony? It was for me, yes, all for me, all love of God, so great and so free. Oh, wondrous love, how shout and sing, He died for me, my Lord and King. Was it for me, He bowed His head upon the cross and freely shed His precious blood, that crimson tide? Was it for me, the Savior died? It was for me, yes, all for me, all love of God, it's so great and is free. Oh, wondrous love, how shout and sing, He died for me, my Lord and King.
Amen. We'll just bow before the Lord in prayer. Our Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, as just humble people that are saved by grace. And that is all we are. We are just sinners that is just saved by grace. But Lord, we have a great Father. We have a great advocate as a mediator. And we come, Lord, and we do ask for that portion of the third person of the Trinity. And that is the Holy Ghost. Come fall upon this gathering. Come fall upon Facebook, YouTube, sermon audio, sermon index, Lord, upon Six Mile Cross, upon this countryside, upon Northern Ireland, upon our country of Ireland, England, Scotland and Wales, yea, upon this world. Lord, there was only a lonely monk who learnt the Bible. Lord, his first book was Romans. What a book you opened up to him. And Lord God, how you did shake him, how you did use him for to shake Europe, but what with the word of God, with a man filled full of the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, I am just a sinner that is saved by grace. And, Lord, if I ever need power, I need now, for I'm going to speak in and through your name of the wonderful things that you've done. That, Lord, some wonderful thing may be wrought and even some heart or even some family even here tonight. We do ask it in and through that you may hide this man behind the cross and have only for the Lord God, that God-man, for to be seen high above all. And nothing of the earth, whatever may be wood, hay, and stubble. And Lord, there's plenty in this life. We pray for the fire of God to fall and it all for to be burnt up. Oh Lord God, save, restore, and feed thy people and feed souls even this night, we ask. for us in Jesus' wonderful and mighty name. Amen. Now it comes a very, very hard bit. I want you to open up God's wonderful, precious, and earned word of God at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. That is God's wonderful, precious word in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And this is all and all. If you can't get anything else in this meeting, the best thing to bring home with you is the word of God. The word of God, not the word of a man. Sometimes people say that man was what that. I don't give up. I want you to go home with the word of God in your heart. For it's hard to displace what's hid in the heart. But unfortunately, sometimes what's in our heart is sin. And we need that wood, hay, and stubble to come back to Northern Ireland and for it to be burnt up. I tell you, they talk about bonfires, the biggest bonfire sometimes in our heart. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Do you know, that's a powerful verse. I don't know if you like studying the word of God. If you're saved, you should be. If not, it's quite easy. You're backslid. You say, what? I got sometimes shaken through my life. Of a Christian that doesn't live a prayer life, a Christian who does, and that's hard. It's very, very hard. But how can you do it without the word of God? It's hard enough doing it with the word of God. But this man was wonderfully saved. He thought he was a chief of all sinners. But you know, son, the Lord can save the chief of sinners. And that's where, unfortunately, this fella comes. I was brought up in a big city called Donnacloney. I don't know if any of you know it. I'm only being sarcastic. There's only a lot of 100 people in it. It has kind of exploded over this past year. But what we had in it was a load of aunties and a load of uncles, and I had a powerful squad of cousins. But everybody, especially in a small village, everybody knew anybody. So you couldn't do anything without somebody knowing about it. And you know something? It doesn't take much for you to do wrong. In fact, do you not know that your heart is desperately wicked? No, I'm all right. No, don't even say that. A minister, a moderate, I don't care who they are. Man's heart is desperate. Look, that's a hard thing, and that's a thing that we've got to fight for. And we need the word of God and prayer to do that. They both come together. So the word, in fact, I think if I can remember, these godly men can keep me right. I think it was George Mueller. What was his prayer life? Do you know what his prayer life? Maybe you find it hard to pray. Read the Bible. Oh, this boy said to read 4, 5, or 6 chapters. If you only get one verse and you read it into your heart, that's the verse, and you pray it out. That's what George Mueller did. He had the Bible for to be his prayer book. Well, this fella was going about thinking that he was some pup. Now, I wasn't a big age. There's one thing you don't have to teach a child, and that's mischief. And I was only a young fella. We were just moved up from the old school to the new school. And we thought we were given off by one of the teachers. And I was only small. If I was primary 4, it would have been the height of it. I took a half brick and I fired it through the window at the teacher that gave off to me. And me and a boy called Andy Watson, we fired round the corner. Nobody's going to catch us. You see, we fired it and went flying round the corner. Behold, your sins will find you out. In fact, there was more than that to find us out. Because to the corner that we went round, it was a brand new school. We didn't know where we were really running. We were running for the front gate. But guess where we went past? Yes, it was a staff room. And it was full of teachers. Was we, Geordie Walker and Andy Watson, running round the corner? And of course, there was a teacher coming their heels, screaming their head off, that a half brick was thrown at them. Now, I said this, maybe laughing and joking, but you know something? The desperateness of sin being taught so, so early. That's one thing I found out, because my mum found out,
And the teacher that we threw the brick at, we got a smack from her. The vice principal, we got a smack from. The headmaster, we got a smack from. My mother, she came a smack whenever I come home. And then whenever my father came home from work, we got a smack from him, and it was a belting. I can tell you, my rear end was like a lighthouse for a fortnight, and I'll never forget it. But you know what that kind of taught me? It's the deceptiveness of sin. It taught me not to try and get caught the next time. You think that would teach you, don't do that. In fact, if any of you are young, don't you dare do that there. But it's powerful of what the Lord can do. Do you know, it wasn't long, and it's a thing that I don't really want to do, and I hope you don't mind. People say this to me often, and they want to hear of the evil things that I've done. I have done awful things. I don't want to tell you the evil and the wickedness that I have done. Whether it's from Ouija boards, whether it's from spiritualists, which we got involved in, whether which was fighting in, which I was very good at in my latter years, smoking, drinking, drugs, I was in it. Young people, it doesn't take long. The devil wants to dig a pit, and you don't know. The devil wants to see you away from the things of God. He wants to see you away from discipline. In fact, that's what my life was. Whether it was anybody, I didn't want to listen to him. The minister, probably one of the most godly and sincere wee men that I know, the Reverend Crane, I really disliked him because he was disciplined. He was teachers didn't want to know them, although the Lord had a sense of humour. I did marry a teacher. But you can see that there was evil and wickedness, and I just wanted to do it. Anything with discipline, I didn't want to know about it. You see, the devil wants to bring you away from the Word of God. You see that Word of God? And I'll say this, never mind, and I mean this sincerely, never mind the saved people of God. To a certain extent, backsliders, sinner, you see this book, you get into it. You study it. You see the old days whenever you got saved, you know what people used to do? They used to scour the life clean out of it. Some big boy, you get that there. There's Spurgeon's readings, and there's certain books that they give you for to study the Word of God. Matthew Henry was a big thing you could have clobbered somebody over the head with. But they wanted you to study the Word of God. Now, are you studying the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you reading your Bible? Christian, I'm not even speaking to the sinners at this stage. And you wonder why there's nothing happening in your family. You wonder why you're not... Do you know, faith can be a small faith, a saving faith, but the Lord wants to grow on your faith. And he doesn't like lazy loafers. Wants you to stress towards, press towards the mark. Isn't that right? That's wonderful words. We shouldn't want to recoil from it. We should want to get into it. Now, like I said before, and we'll come to it. So you see, when this man preaches his heart out and you get a word of God, boys, you think this boys is powerful. But you see when the Lord impresses the word of God onto your heart, I tell you, there's nothing like it. So you get into the word of God. Don't care why it's in the morning, why it's in the middle of the night. You can't sleep. Boys, haven't had plenty of times like that. Get up and read the Word of God. See the TV, put your boot on it or do something. But you see the Word of God. We'll turn on this and we'll turn on that. We'll watch a film for 2 hours. Many times have we opened up the Word of God, Northern Ireland. How many times have we prayed over this Word? Lord, you've given me this Word. I'm holding you to it. And we wonder why things is not being done in Northern Ireland. Whether this church, I don't know. Whether your young people's fellowship, Sunday school. Let's be personal. Your life. We want to see the Lord moving again. But I'll move on. Isaiah chapter 40 and 28 to 31. I have a lot of verses. I'd want you to hear less of me and more of the Word of God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You know, some people think they know it all. God knows everything, even before you think it. Now, I know you might be married and the wife thinks, you know she knows before you turn that corner. I know I say that in a laughing way. But spiritually and faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, another verse that come to me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. This brings the fear of God into me.
Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, and if you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. That's wonderful, isn't that marvellous? As well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you don't have faith, you'll not hear it. Oh, I know that word. No, you're not. We've got some educated, allocated people. No, you'll not hear it. It comes through the Spirit of God. And there's a teaching coming back which has been about for hundreds of years. In fact, thousands of years. Let me say it again. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word of God preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them. Let me tell you, you see my evil and wicked ways, they were going nearly out of control. Smoking leads on to marijuana. Marijuana leads on to harder drugs. Fighting gets on to, let's give up by a bruised eye to, I find it no problem to break a jaw for to crack a leg. And you know, this is a scary thing. Didn't cause me a conscience about doing that to somebody, about leaving somebody unconscious in a bloody state. I had no conscience. But the Lord was about to step in. I was undefeated for a long, long time. I was about to meet the champions. You ever picked a fight with the Lord? You'll not win. Maybe you're watching online. You want to pick a fight? I'll tell the Lord someday. It tells, thankfully, what's going to happen on that day of judgment. It's a word that people don't like to say. You are sinful. People who, in fact, we are sinful. But someday everybody, and the devil himself, that deceiver who's whittling in your ear that you don't know how to keep quiet, he's whittling in your ear. You don't know how to silence him. But you know something? The Lord knows how to silence him, and he's trying to get through to you to use that power which he's given unto you. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the word of God. But you know something? I was sent out to the Truth Youth Holidays. I don't know if you know about them. In fact, I see a wee woman smiling. I think I kind of half recognize her. So I do. And you know something? We get up to everything. Now, this boy got up to everything, I should say. Reverend Crane ran round. I'll never forget the 1 year. I done something in particular. And we're going to throw every single person out of what wickedness that I done. I thought I was laughing and I was joking. And we're going to fire us out. The Lord had still to show me a right hook. You see, I didn't want to go to meetings. And there was going to be a particular meeting. It was a testimony night. Now, you know I didn't like to listen to Sunday school teachers, ministers, anything. I was a strong boy. I was undefeated for a long, long time. Wasn't defeated. This one person got up and spoke a word of testimony. It was all right. I didn't want to listen. Another person got up, but you know what the Lord used to break me? Wee blondie girl, and she was the next room. You see, I didn't even want to be in that room. I was the next door. Me and my mate were carrying on, but you see when the Lord arrests you, you see when he gets you to listen to the word of God, you better cock your ear. You better beware, because that might be your moment and it might pass in a moment. Your life is a vapor. We'll come to that there. Of how my life nearly passed before me. And you know something? It was a little blondie girl. And she got up. And she spoke her testimony. Now if I can tell you, I was up against 18 stone fellas. And you know, big fellas. Wasn't fearful whatsoever. But there was a thing that was very, very unusual come into my life. That was the fear of God. And the fear of coming over, that I was going to die that night and I was going to meet God in my sinful state. See, the Lord changes not. If you're not saved and you're going to meet the Lord, you're going to hell. That's an easy message, but what doesn't instill the fear into people's hearts unless the Holy Ghost comes and smites your heart. It feared that the hair in the back of my neck stood up. I turned round and I said, I need to get saved, and I need to get saved now. Now, I didn't know this here until a man, I'm trying to remember her name, from Oma, and they were actually talking to her later on about the movement of God that was happening in this place. It was like a little mini revival, because this person was spoke to, that person was saved, this person came back to the Lord. There was a real movement of the Lord. In fact, whenever I went, there was a wee man called Tom Martin, and I said, I need to know the Lord, and I need to know him now. And I turned around to my mate and I gripped him by the neck, and he thought it was going to hit him, and all I wanted, he says, I need to get saved. That was the urgency of it. So we went out of that room. There was people crying to my left. Went up the stairs, there was people hanging on to the rail, and they were crying. It was going up onto the balcony, and there was people in tears and huddles. I would love to see those days come back again. People were praying for it. But it's a bit of a shock sometimes to people when it does happen. Would you be shocked? Is that what you want? Do you believe in your prayers? Thankfully, there's some people that know how to move the hand of God still left. But you know something? I went into that room and I came to know the Lord as my own personal Savior. Just for a wee blondie girl speaking. Just a word of testimony. Sometimes it's not in highfalutin things. The power of God can move in strangest of places. It moved my heart. But then we come down and we see what the Lord had done. He had given power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases faith. If I can tell you how blunt sometimes I can be, I am not very smart, and I am not good at reading. That's the reason why I take it slow. But praise the Lord. You see, whenever you open this word of God, it's not brains you need, it's the Holy Ghost you need. Now, you need to believe that. I love the scriptures, and I believe in this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases faith. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall. See that? Shall. 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 You see, when God gives a promise, see, some people might give promises, and I can tell you they'll utterly fail. Sometimes, see, the Lord never fails a promise. And they shall walk and not faint. I said, how on earth am I going to hold up this before a mighty God? Lord, how am I going to read this book? I am useless at speaking. You know, I am not good at elocution. They could probably electrocute you, but not electrocution or elocution. What is the next verse? The Lord starts speaking. That's what I want to see happen even in your lives, even afresh. If you're not reading the Word of God, what's the promises that we've always heard and years gone by from our fathers and our grandfathers? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show the minister, the pastor, that big highfalutin by the... No! People, take the Word of God of what it is. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Boys, I would love to go into the Greek of that there. Rightly dividing the word of God. When's the last time you took down Henry's Concordance? When's the last time you studied God's word? I'm not talking about 10 minutes. Do you see the men of old and you wondered how this country was moved? They stayed. Well, see, if I can remember, there was Martin Luther. He said, I have it busy this day that I must pray 3 hours before I go out. He had a busy day and he prayed 3 hours. Maybe we do 3 minutes, roll out of bed. My friends, we wonder why our prayer meetings need shook. Pulpits need shook. We need young men coming into the Whitfield that's full of the fire, and that fire will not dwindle out. We need sometime that warmth. And if they not get the warmth, we need the people scalded. It's powerful how the Lord has to come into your life. You haven't lifted up the Word of God and you wonder how the Word of God will speak unto you. And then when the Lord comes hard, he's to hit you hard. And you say, what was that for? The Lord's trying to get your attention. Because if you'll not read the Word of God, he'll bring something else into your life that'll say, I have forgotten the Lord. Has he to rend the mountains? Just bring back to the Word of God. Has he to pull down and open the skies? Open up the Word of God. I'll challenge this to you because I want to encourage you. That's what I'm here for. And I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you into the prayer life. I want you to open up the wonderful Word of God. It's powerful how it can feed you. Even this boy who doesn't know too much about English, study to show thyself. Be ye therefore followers of God. I just don't want you saved and stand by. Boy says, I'm behind you. Either that far back, you need a pair of binoculars to see some of them. See this man here, he needs this. You have to hold the strings for him. You have to hold the ropes for him in prayer. Are you missing the prayer time? What's your excuse? Maybe be a bit blunt. Maybe you need it. Maybe I need it. Maybe I need that encouragement for to come to the house of God. You give an excuse to the minister? No. See, everything you do, you look up above. You try and fool that man, that God man, that sovereign God, because you'll have to answer for it someday. Why you weren't living your life out and burning out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I would love to see this country do again. Because whenever we sometimes look up and say, there's a God-fearing man, he's never missing from the prayer meeting. There's that God-fearing little fella. One of the things that broke my heart was a 9-year-old. Get up in a prayer meeting and pray. Pray better than anybody in the meeting. Don't think you're too young to pray. Don't think you're too old to pray. Well, think of old Abraham. Was he over 70 before he really started going? That's powerful. That's for our encouragement. But what do we do? Are we redeeming the time? Are we walking circumspectly? Are we understanding what the will of the Lord is? Be not drunk with wine. We're in its excess. But be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled. Not just dribbled. And that's not just because what the Lord wants. It's because of you. Can the Lord trust you? You say you want revival. Oh yes, I want to see loads of people. Can the Lord trust you with a little more grace? What will you do with it? The only word of God you'll hear is from one Sunday to the next. Now, let me tell you how the Lord really encouraged me. Because I'm to speak about how the Lord moved me on. The Lord didn't want me to say skinny in the faith. And the Lord comes along. You know those special verses with the Lord? You can rhyme that verse off so you can. That really encouraged you. That saved you and you grip hold of it. You don't want to let go of it. So you don't. I'll tell you what the one was in me. It was Genesis 13. And I done that really hard thing. I took down the good old books, them commentaries. And I opened up the Word of God. It was in Genesis 13. What was it, you say? I'm really encouraged. Because I would want you to see how something that we just pass over words that we don't really understand. In fact, we don't even go into the depths of it. And what was it? It was, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto God. What is so spectacular about that he built an altar? And I would love to go into that there in a lot of detail. But there's two words that stick out to me that I didn't really have a baldy's notion what they were about. One was Mamre and one was Hebron. But you see, Abram came here and he built an altar. Why? Because we can go into ifs and buts and maybe. It wasn't until I looked into Mamre and Hebron and see what they actually meant. Do you know what they mean? Let's change the verse a little bit. Then Abram removed his tent and he came and he dwelt in the fatness of fellowship with the Lord. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. I think that's class. The Lord gave that to me and I thought I was like a dog with a bone. And I lived on that there for, I still live on it, because the Lord gave me understanding. What? Not to just go over certain verses, but to slow down. You know, sometimes you go past the road and there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken, but if you're flying past a 60 mile an hour, you're not going to get no Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, not that I'm taking, lightly off the Word of God, but if you stop, and if you dwell on it, and if you ask the Lord's blessing, he'll show you mighty things. No, great things, great and mighty things. That's what we want to see the Lord doing in our lives. Now, the Lord wanted to take me on further. And it was in Luke chapter 18. And it's brilliant when you open up the Word of God. Do you know something? Sometimes people read over in the Word of God and say, oh, that's a lovely verse. But you know something? The Lord maybe do a strange thing to you. You see the things that you're reading. It's meant for your heart. Oh, no. No, that's what it's for. It's for the edification. Oh, I would love to get into that there. But when you read the word of God, it's sometimes to move your heart to do something. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Show me your prayer life, brother. Sister, show me your prayer life. Before God, not before this man. And I mean that very, very sincerely. Jeremiah 33. Moreover, the word of God came unto Jeremiah. I love that. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of a prison. Boys, isn't it powerful when you get the word of God? Maybe you think you're closed up. I am going. You have not a clue what I am going through. You have not a clue what I'm living through, Geordie Walker. Aye, but the Lord does. He gave the word of God in a prison, and praise the Lord, one of the best words that I ever give to him was actually in a pit, if I can remember right. What did he go on to say? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which I knowest not. Show me your prayer life. Psalm 145, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and all them that call upon him in truth. Boys, I'd love to speak on that as well. You're calling, but you're just waffling out the first thing. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord knows our stammerings and all of the rest of it. Call upon him, but call upon him in truth. Do you prepare yourself for a prayer meeting? Or do you just go out? Put the deodorant on, the aftershave, the perfume, and you get out. Have you settled yourself before the Lord before you go into one of the most important meetings of the whole week? Oh, no, it's a Sunday morning. No, it's not. How can this man have prayer? How can this man preach his heart out and have power if nobody is praying? C.H. Spurgeon, didn't he say that there when they opened up the door underneath the church? He said, that is the engine room. How good is your engine room going? I'll say it again. Show me your prayer life. Psalm 18. This comes into a time when, oh, he tries your faith. So you haven't been reading your Bible, you haven't been praying, and you wonder how you're having a hard time going through certain things. You need the strength to go through it. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. My daddy was dying with cancer. I love my daddy with all my heart. As I said back then, he was being taken away from me. No, the Lord has plans. Sometimes you think maybe you've gone cancer. I remember that time whenever I had tumor and multiple cysts. Sometimes it's not for you, but some people looking at you of how you're living your life before a mighty God. How strong is your faith? The Lord was going to put my faith through a desperate trial. So my dad was brought into hospital. He was dying. He was my best mate. We had crack. We had the same humour. But in the next ward was my wife, and she was giving birth to my little Benjamin. But he hadn't been born yet. I had to go from one ward to the next ward. That's how close it was. Three times I was called. Said, your daddy is dying. I ran up, held daddy's hand. Your son is coming close to birth. It was back and forward and back and forward. Then little Benjamin was born. It was the strangest of times for to have a life and a death happen in so short of a time. For when I went up to daddy again, it was strange. Daddy was unconscious. But one of the last things he said before he passed away, it was strange. He was kind of in a, I'll not say a stupor to be disrespectful, but you know what it's like when somebody is in morphine, and he was clear as a bell. And he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Can I see Benjamin?" The hospital wouldn't allow it. Broke my heart. Daddy slipped away. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Second Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given. The Lord wanted to take me on. That was a trial of my faith. Whenever you go through trials, how will you go through the next one? I've been given desperate news. My loved one is going to pass away. There's turmoil in the church. There's sin in Northern Ireland. How are you dealing with it? Deal with it before a holy God. It doesn't only come up before him, it comes to his ears. Very closely. You don't have to shout. The Lord's not hard of hearing. All scripture is given. The Lord wants to bring you on to that next bit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now this struck me very, very hard. I know I am a rough person, but the Lord wanted to refine me even more. Now if I can tell you about reading before, but what the Lord did there, he showed me a wonderful wee man. He showed me a little man called Stanley Conn. Little Stanley Conn, a little mug bottle, glasses, you remember all those, you could hardly see through. He couldn't hardly put one foot in front of another. He stammered a little bit as well. But I tell you, I have never seen still to this day a man that could walk with the Lord. I've never seen a man that had such a vision for the Lord Jesus Christ. I never seen a man that could pray his heart out and his prayer be answered, even in a sinful world. This is what encouragement I got. And he encouraged me for to read the Bible. Read the hard things. Are you joking? But I tell you, the Lord then gave me such a lovely reading. I don't know if you know Thomas Manton. I don't know if you read John Owen. Sometimes people think of Martin Luther, but they don't know Philip Melanchthon. Sometimes people talk about John Calvin, but they don't know Martin Bucer. You know, read these men of power, and they will encourage your heart. I don't care what anybody says. If you read anything about Reformation, I can tell you it'll fire up your soul. If you read about Hezekiah, yes, you read about Hezekiah, but you read about the hand of God. But one thing I will say to you, there's plenty of people out there, and I'll encourage you for to read a pile of tripe. But whenever you read God-fearing men, like I said, whenever you read one thing, it'll lead on to another, and you'll read up these powerful God-fearing men of what they did and what Northern Ireland can still do in this time. All we need is just a person filled with the fullness of God. Wasn't that D.L. Moody, if I can remember right? Show me what I can do for a man full of God. Oh, boys and boys. That's what we need in your heart. Do you believe? Am I that person? Are you that person? I know so. That would be brilliant. But people, read all of these books. We have come to people who just think it's just like an order online thing. And I mean this so sincerely. They only want God. You see the old Puritan books? They were thick as a bull's lug. So they were massive. Then they come down to Puritan paperbacks. Then they come down to little pamphlets. And people won't even read them. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with me? I need to install that. Why is people not reading the things of God? Why don't you want, oh, John Owen is so high and mighty. Yes. He was a deeply spiritual man. Why are you not a deeply spiritual person? All he did. Now, I will say this here. If any reading that you're doing draws you close to the Bible, that's a book that you want. If you're reading anything and it's not bringing you to this book, fire it out. If there's something that's pulling you up, wood, hay and stubble, getting in the road. I'm talking about the Christian life here. There's plenty in our life. Search it out.
But do you have the courage for to pull it away from your life? Let the Lord come in and deal with it with a sigh. Let him come and burn it up. It's a hard thing to ask. Also, watch what you pray. The Lord can deal with you in great and wonderful, mighty ways. I was going through, I was bringing out the young ones on a Thursday night playing football. Geordie was very, very fit. He was fit as a flea. The football was over. The football went flying over my head. I said, stuff that, hey, I'm not running for that ball. And I jumped up. Now, if I can tell you about my kickboxing day, my martial arts days, I was very, very handy, to say the least. And I was easy of doing great and wonderful things. So jumping off the ground was no problem. But I jumped up, not too high, 2 foot. That was about the height of it. And I came down. Bang, 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 bang. I don't know if you heard a rifle shot go off, but that's the way my leg went. There was about 3 to 4 different cracks went out of my leg. Whenever I looked down, the sole of my foot was looking up at me, and I had absolutely shattered my leg. How will your faith do? The Lord was going to bring me through a new one. See, I thought I was going to do such and such the next day. The Lord wants to speak more clearly and plainly, and he wanted to get my attention. Sometimes the Lord's got to get you the grip of the neck. Sometimes you'll not listen to the word of God. Remember what it said? It's to bring things into your life to make you listen lovingly. So I went to the hospital. They were thinking of cutting off my leg because the circulation had been so, so bad because it was so twisted. It was actually dislocated actually amongst the breaks. And to cut a long story short, they done this type of new operation and were able to save the leg. Some months later, what I meant to say to you before that there, I was saying, Lord, I want you to do reading. And I said to the Lord, where am I going to get the time for to read? I meant to say that to you. Sorry for missing that. Where am I going to get the time to read? The Lord's going to give me plenty of time to read because I was in the hospital, leg shattered. And then this next time I come in, I said, right, was coming off to the end. I was getting out the last of my stitches. I was going in to see this consultant. Looks up at me, looks down, looks up, looks down. I went, what on earth is he looking at? And I knew something was bad when a consultant, this wasn't an ordinary doctor, the consultant went out and he got another consultant, which not many of these boys done. And the boy looks up at me, looks down at me. This is the other fella. And he looks up and he looks at me. What on earth is he looking at? I says, I can't operate on this boy this afternoon. And I went, I'm only just here for a checkup. And he's looking at operating me this afternoon. And I went, sometimes the Lord's got the shot. You know, yes, it was hard enough going through these things, but the Lord wanted to just put a little bit more of an exclamation mark on it. So anyway, the man come over. And he plucked one of the plastic stitches that looked a bit like cat gut and just out came out like a fountain, was full of pus. I didn't know this, but I had blood poisoning and bone poisoning. I don't know if you know how deadly that is. I was very, very close to these guys were all saying, get that guy urgently. Come. But again, urgency didn't come to Geordie boys. Because they said, right, we can't operate him on him now, but we'll put him on antibiotics urgent, and then the next day we'll do the operation. So, of course, I said, I'm going to park the car, but Geordie boy didn't. He went down and he got a sliced chicken supper with gravy because I know I was going to have to go on a diet that night. But you know something the Lord said? Ah, you're not taking this. You're not taking this easy. I'm speaking to you. I want to get your attention. There's things that the Lord is speaking to your life and you're not taking them seriously. Maybe the Lord will speak a bit harder the next time to you. So it came and the operation came. I had more months to recuperate for it. I had special plates put in. They took everything out. My leg was like a Swiss cheese, so it was. So the Lord wanted me to read more for to study more. Brother, may I say this to you? How's your Bible reading, brother? How's your Bible reading, sister? Then the next thing, it was actually how I met this, but I don't know if this fella knows, that I kind of ran into your mother in a strange way. I hadn't a clue who your mum was, but it was brilliant the way the Lord brought us both together. But I'll say this here, I'll speak to you afterwards about that there, maybe. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
What am I trying to say unto you? Show me your outreach, brother. Show me your outreach, sister. In the book of Revelation 12 and 11, I'm just thinking what time it is. Oh, boys, it's time I give over. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Show me your blood-bought testimony, brother. Show me your outreach. Show me your Bible reading. Show me your prayer life. My brother, show them Christ in them through your life. That's a very, very hard thing to do. Because you know something? The world can look at you. The devil wants you to trip and to fall. And then he'll want somebody to come and say, look at the cut of that Christian. Now, I can tell you this. You see, if you want to make... I have met some wicked boys in my life. Paramilitary, you name it. Wicked fellas. What they said, but some of them, you see, when they're going through their camaraderie, boys, they really would have helped you out in a really, really strange way. But you know where sometimes I've met some of the worst things in my life? In a church. How are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? You need to live deeply in the things of God. Because the devil just doesn't want to trip you up. He wants to destroy your testimony, which is the Lord's. It's not yours. You think you're... It's the life of the Lord living through you. How deeply are you living for the Lord? That people may look and say to you, this is what you should be. I'm not saying what you... There's a God-fearing person. That's a lovely person in the Lord. Do you know how they encourage me for the Lord? Are you doing that? Ah, but I'm a weak person. Mon, dear, I would love to show you the scriptures of little maids that spoke unto the captain of hosts. Little boys who shared a cat. Do you know sometimes people say, this was maybe this person and that person. You know when you get all these commentaries, say they think it's this person. Watch when you come to commentaries. If it's not in the scriptures, it's not in the scriptures. Because you know when it says, when it doesn't name that little boy, it doesn't name that girl. What is it doing? That you should just look at what they're doing. They're giving that thing for the Lord, that little boy. They're giving something so little. No, but it's for the Lord. You have to give everything over for the Lord. So we'll want to go on to the next thing and how to encourage and your friends. I've got another lack of pages here, but what I want to say, who is my friends now? I had some evil and wicked friends. Yes. I still speak to them. Love to speak to them. But do you know my friends now are in the house of God? They're children's workers. They're in the prayer meeting. Who's your best friend? Yes, I know it's the Lord. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But that's the type of life that we should have, is living our life in the church, for the Lord, that his name may be glorified. But the Lord wants to use you deeper. Maybe you've gone through some of these trials. I know this year was very, very hard. Because my mum was diagnosed with cancer. They thought there was going to be no hope. She got the all clear last month, you know. Do you know what her first thing was to do? Get out to the house of God. Do you know what her favourite meeting is? Is, mean that in the present tense, it's a prayer time on a Tuesday night. See, there's some people who blow their nose. Oh, I can't go to church. And I mean this, and sometimes people need it. That rod and that staff, yes, do you know what that is? Sometimes you need a thick ear to listen to the word of God, and I mean that bluntly. Why are you missing the house of God? Why are you missing the place of prayer? Do you know, my mum doesn't speak too much, but that spoke to me. See, there's that testimony, that lovely woman living her life. She was hardly fit to put one foot in front of the other, and she wanted to go to the house of God. But you're blowing your nose, or maybe you're too tired, or I will go to sleep. You get full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll run. Your feet will can't carry it till you get into the house of God. And then you'll do a strange thing. Not only when you're in, you'll want to encourage the deepest dead sinner that's in 6 Mile Cross, Oma, Northern Ireland, Armagh, Tyrone. How's your outreach? Oh, we need people filled to do more things, not just be saved and depressed, but to go on in the strength which is our God. Is that not our calling? You see, I love some of the times people say, I know I actually heard another boy, he was actually wrong what he said. Redemption means one thing. No, it doesn't. It actually means three things. You can actually redeem things and give it away to something worthless. But the one that I love is the redemption of the Lord. It's the truest one, and it's the third one. That you'll be see people saved, redeemed, and being kept, and being loved. And even though you're a sheep and you run away, he'll put you around his shoulders and he'll let you down until he lays you home. And I've got more things to say, but you know something? I'll leave this to you, but it is my last thing that I want to say to you. What I want to do, I want to encourage you. Through a sinful life that the Lord came in and he changed. If I can tell you, the chains that was wrapped around me, the padlock, the locks that was on me, the Lord just came and he released them. Thought I was going to find it hard stopping smoking. Thought I was finding it hard stopping taking drugs. But you see, when the Lord comes in, but you know, this is the word of the Lord that instilled onto me was Mark chapter 16, and it talks about the resurrection of Christ. And this is a sermon I would love to speak on to you. Do you ever hear of the two in the Emmaus Road? Do you ever hear of Mary Magdalene? Do you ever hear of the disciples? People always take them separately. But in Mark chapter 16, they're all together. Why? This is the call of the church. You're saved, but you believe not. You say, what? Of course I believe. No. In verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Let's come down a little bit more. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. And then verse 14. And afterward he appeared unto the 11, sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. My friend, are you saved and you believe with a deep belief? Not just a skin deep belief, but we have to get into the Word of God. Maybe the next time I come back, if the Lord spurs, or maybe this young man here, I'll see how you're living your life out. How you're encouraged. Something must be different. The Holy Ghost is gripping this church. People are starting to read in their Bible. I'm talking about Christians. And then you'll see backsliders coming back to God. Then you'll see that sinner that's been praying for a long time. Maybe it's your mum, maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your brother or your sister. Here's a strange thing. That boy you really hate. That person you despise. Thank the Lord you're not sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. And you'll see even that person be a wonderful saved gem for the Lord Jesus Christ. I better close up everything. But what I would love you to do, if there's anything I can do or talk with you, I know we're in strange days. But the Lord changes not. If I could help you or encourage you in some way, please have a word with me. Please don't go away if you're anxious of heart and spirit. You're going through the hardest of times and you wonder, show me those verses again. Show me how to get encouraged with the Lord. Sometimes maybe what I have to do and maybe what we all have to do and say, don't look at me. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. A new way, a better way, a more powerful way, only through the Holy Ghost. I'll pray with you just as we do pass the meeting here tonight. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we pray that the things that be of man may be burnt up of dross. But Lord, we do pray for a Christian church with the whole armour of God. Lord, I can't make thy arm bare, but Lord, we need armor and much of it, the whole armor of God. We think of that mighty book by William Gurnall, Lord, and how he stressed at what we must put on, even above all. Oh, Lord God, above all, have us to remember thee in the morning as we go home from this meeting, that we may remember thee and read more of the word of God tonight, that, Lord, you may increase our prayer life. Lord God, and if we come to the strangest and the deepest of valleys, that, Lord God, whether it be in the ankles or to the knees, but, Lord God, when it even comes to a river and flood, Lord, you'll part the waters and we can go apart. But, Lord, we can't see the way ahead. So give us a life of faith, of saving faith first and growing faith. Lord, a tree is not just there for growing up and being bark and twigs, but it's there for putting leaf on, for putting flowers on, and yea, even the fruit of God, that your name may be lifted up. So, Lord God and Heavenly Father, we pray for that person that's not saved. We pray for whether's that whosoever will, that they'll just believe in the promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save some soul or souls even here tonight. Move in this country again. We would love to see revival, but sin needs to be dealt with. Give people the braveness of heart, the depth of soul, the Lord, the movement of the Holy Ghost in high places and low places. Oh, Lord God, that even our country may fear again for to make another law against thy holy law. And that, Lord God, will lift up and give thee all the praise, honor, and the glory. Bring revival back even in our times. For thy name's sake, we ask and pray these things. Amen.